so good to see all of y'all here this morning. Andy, our lead pastor, is out of town, and my name is Delee Jordan, and I'm the children's pastor here. So you get to have me today. Now I'm out of breath from running down the aisle and running over Carol. So a couple of announcements. There we go, sock drive. We are collecting socks. There's a basket by the front office here, and there's a basket at our other campus. We need all sizes. They go to the co-op. It's our children's mission project for this month. So, and then today is our end of summer splash at Texas Water Rampage, and it is not too late to sign up. There is over 300 people currently planning to come, and so we're super excited about that fellowship time. But it's not too late if you have a friend or somebody you want to invite to bring them along. So spread the word. And if you are new or visiting, we would love to know that you're here joining us today. You can fill this card out and give it to the ushers later. And what's really cool about that is that cookies will show up on your doorstep. So I think that's all for that part. So this morning I want you to think of someone in your life that has been a positive, godly influence on you. And I want you to think about what characteristics that person has and how they have influenced you and what it is that they have done, that their actions have shown you that godly influence. And this morning, the person that is heavy on my heart is Sally Bradley. She passed away this week, and she's going to be very dearly missed, but her legacy is in me because she was one of my biggest encouragers. From the time I started coming, working here, she was constantly encouraging me in one way or another, seeing something valuable in me and lifting that up. And even as her human body started to fail her and her memory started to go, that encouragement still poured out of her. And it was just amazing to me that she had that so deeply embedded in her that as her memory went, it was still there. So I hope to be like Sally one day. But I just want you to think of someone in your life that's like that, someone that just has a godly presence that pours themselves into you, and just be thinking and meditating on what that person means to you this morning. So we all pray with me. God, I thank you for the opportunity this morning to come here and worship together in your presence, God. And I just pray that you fill your spirit into this place, God. Just overwhelm us with your spirit, God. Just speak to us today and help us to grow deeper in our relationship with you this morning through our worship time. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, we're going to say our mission statement together. Ready, go. St. Luke's is a Christ-centered family of grace where all persons are welcome and wanted. We are committed to reach, grow, and send forth fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. All right, we all stand. We are going to have I'm on the wrong service time. Sorry, let me make sure. Yes, we're going to stand and have songs of worship. So y'all stand and worship with us. So our scripture this morning is Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. And we're going to stay standing to read God's word. And then I'll let you be seated. So Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12 says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Thank you. You may be seated. So I'm going to apologize real quick because when I worked on the slides at home, they were a lot easier to read. So yay, you have notes. And if you didn't get some, you can go grab one real quick. But it should help. At least has the verse references and stuff on it. So two are better than one. And before we continue to explore God's word today, I just want to open this time in prayer. So will you pray with me? God, I just thank you so much, God, for who you are. And we acknowledge today that you are the one and only God. And I just thank you for your word and that that it's freely given to us so that we can use it to grow in our relationship with you, God. And I just pray that as we open your word today, that it will just become a part of who we are and change us on the inside so that we can be who you want us to be to the people around us, God. No matter what words come out of my mouth today, God, I just pray that you help us all hear what it is you want us to hear, that today is about you, God, and nothing else. In Jesus' name, amen. So today we're going to talk about accountability and loving others, and it's been on my heart a lot lately, and I feel like God has been revealing more and more about this topic to me. So this morning, I just want to share with you what I've learned and what I'm working on in myself. So when Jesus taught, he taught in parables and common things that were around him to help people understand his teachings. And so I feel like God kind of reveals things to me in a common way sometimes, and it helps certain concepts kind of make sense to me better. So I'm going to share some of these with you in hopes that it will help you this morning as well. So we're going to do some self-evaluation this morning. That's kind of the psychology major in me, so I'm sorry. And I know that doesn't really sound fun, but it's something that I believe has to happen for God to do transforming work inside of me. So our self-evaluation this morning is going to focus on how we can have godly accountability in our lives, and we're going to explore two areas. So our first area of evaluation is our own relationship with God. Have we taken time, really taken time, to sit and think about our relationship with God, to truly think about where our relationship with him currently is and where we would like it to be and what steps we can take to strengthen it? Are we daily reading our scripture? Are we in consistent prayer? Are we consistently in community with other Christians? So our first question is, what are we pouring into ourselves? Proverbs 4:23, Solomon wisely states, above everything else, guard your heart. Everything you do comes from it. So this is about what we're pouring into ourselves. In Luke 6:45, Jesus says, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So what we store up in ourselves matters. And it matters so very much. And this matters for accountability purposes too, because if someone is depending on me to hold them accountable, then they're going to expect that I'm storing up good so that when the time comes for me to help them, it'll be good that flows from my mouth because that's what my heart is full of. And I feel really convicted by this, and I know personally I've got to do better at this. So our next evaluation question is, what are our routines and rhythms? So wait a second before you answer that. We're going to think more about a routine and a rhythm is, and maybe kind of rephrase that question and break it down a little bit. So Philippians 4:8 says, Paul is saying in Philippians, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So Paul is calling us to practice these things. I don't know, when I was growing up, I thought of routines, like in a spiritual routine, is a bad thing. So, because if you allow this routine to become a habit, it can become meaningless. And so I think, personally, I like the word rhythm better than routine. In my mind, routine is just that. That habit, you just do it without thinking. Like if you're driving down the street and you make it all the way home and you're like, oh, wait, how did I get here? Okay, there's a few of you I heard. I'm not completely alone in that then. Yay. So, but to me, a life rhythm or a family rhythm, it's like the beat of a drum. The drum in a praise band or in a marching band, it is so very important. It keeps everyone else together, and without the consistency of the drum, the rest of the band members can lose their way. The beat of a drum is consistent and regular, and it's something you can feel, and it's grounding. And so the same is true for a life rhythm or a family rhythm. We live in this world of so much chaos, so a godly rhythm can help us in the midst of that chaos feel grounded. The consistency of it can help us feel safe, and godly habits can help us have that feeling of safety in His arms, surrounded by His peace. So our family has a rhythm that we do every weekday during the school year, and over the summer we've kind of let that go, because summer is just kind of crazy and busy, and I've really missed it. Like, I can feel the void of that rhythm in my life, and I can look back and see the positives that rhythm was making a difference in our lives when we were doing it. And so it's something that I'm really excited to get back into as our school rhythms get back into place. So let's break down that evaluation question into two questions. First, what life or family rhythms am I currently doing that are godly, and I need to keep doing them? Like, think about them, write them down, what are they? And then next, what family or life rhythms do I feel God calling me to start? What's a new rhythm that my family needs that will grow us closer together and grow us closer to God? Something else that's important is to reevaluate often, asking God to show us where and how we can strengthen our relationship with Him. So Paul said in Philippians 1:6, God began a good work in you, and I am sure that He will carry it on until it is completed. That will be on the day Christ Jesus returns. So that verse right there tells me that I don't ever stop reevaluating, because this self-evaluation of our relationship with God, it'll never be perfect this side of heaven. We can't let it hinder us, though, because we know it's not going to be perfect, right? We can't let it hinder us from working on our relationship with others. So sometimes we get this idea in our heads that our relationship with God isn't good enough for what He's calling us to do. And let me just tell you, that is not true. So the verse that they read earlier during the children's sermon, Matthew 22, it doesn't say, love God with all your heart and then love others. It says, love God with all your heart and, just and. So that means that they happen at the same time. They coexist. You can't have one without the other. Because when God's love is in you and you're so full of it, it pours out to others. Like, it's going to go to others. Love God and others. And you can't show God's love to others, oops, unless it is in you. Sorry. I got excited. Okay, sorry. So Paul says in Galatians 5:14, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. So let's not let this evaluation section keep us from being in accountable relationships with each other. Like, let's not let it hinder us, because loving God and loving others are together, and it's a process, and they flow with each other. Okay, so my family loves to go to the lake. My parents have a pontoon boat, and they often take us to Lake Allen Henry. That is not a picture I took. That's off of the internet. But I have lots of them. I just didn't have time to find one for you. So floating out on the lake is one of my favorite places to be. And when you're just out there floating in the water, you can feel like these cold currents going through the lake. And we call them cold spots. And so we're like, ooh, it's a cold spot. And with a hot day, it's really exciting that you find a cold spot. But I often wonder where that cold spot is coming from and where it's going. Like, how did that happen, right? So Ezekiel 47:11 says, but none of the swamps will have fresh water in them. They will stay salty. So that at Lake Allen Henry, there's a source of water coming in it and going out of it, right? So it's important to know the source of something, especially the source that we're pouring into our own lives. So have you ever heard the saying, I think you have because we live in West Texas and there's ranchers around, but make sure you drink upstream from the herd, right? We don't want to drink the contaminated water flowing downstream. We want the fresh water, the pure water. So this brings us back to Proverbs 4:23. Guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. So what am I allowing to flow into me? James 3:11 says, can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? If fresh water flows in, then fresh water is what's going to flow out. And if contaminated water flows in, then contaminated water is going to flow out. And if you have two rivers that flow in and one's contaminated and one's not, what's coming out? Still the contaminated water, right? You can't have both. You're only going to produce contamination. So a river of life, it has to have an inlet, and an outlet. A swamp is stale and stagnant. It doesn't have water flowing through it. It's just there. It's like a container, kind of. So I did some research on the Sea of Galilee and on the Dead Sea, and it's kind of interesting. So the Jordan River flows into both the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea. They both have the same water source. The Sea of Galilee is full of life. The Jordan River flows into it and flows out of it. The Dead Sea is, well, dead. It contains almost 10 times the salt content as normal ocean water. 10 times. It's a lot. It has no life except for a few little microorganisms and some algae. It has no fish. It has no seaweed. It has no other creatures in it. And the difference is the Jordan River flows into the Dead Sea, but there is no outlet. It gets stuck right there. The only way it can leave is through evaporation. So if we close ourselves off from letting God's love flow through us, then we can become lifeless like the Dead Sea. So next we're going to evaluate our relationship with others. So first we're going to talk about what accountability is not. Accountability is not judgment. A few years ago, I was dealing with an issue that I was having with another person, and I was thinking about a verse. And it's a verse that I know really well because I remember my dad reinforcing it when I was growing up. But this particular day, I was driving, and I can remember exactly where I was driving too because it just hit me that hard. But this verse popped into my head, and then I felt like God was opening my eyes to look at the verse in a way that I had never thought about before. And Matt kind of talked about it a few Sundays ago, but I want to share it again, and I want to kind of take it one more step. So we're going to look at Matthew 7, 1 through 5. Jesus is talking, and this is during his Sermon on the Mount. It says, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take this speck out of your eye,' when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." So Destiny's going to come help me. I'm going to illustrate this for you a little bit because I'm visual and I like stuff like that. But have y'all ever truly looked at a speck of sawdust? Like, have you ever really tried to find one speck and look at it? You can come all the way up here, yeah. It is very tiny. Like, sawdust is teeny, teeny, tiny. So we're going to pretend for a minute that we don't have a plank in our eye, okay? And I want you to pretend to have an eyelash in my eye, and I want you to help me get it out, okay? She's very close to me, y'all. It's very close, right? Do you think you could have seen a speck of dust in my eye that close? No? How close do you think you would have to get? Oh, my gosh. It's a little awkward, I'm just going to say. Okay, so I lost my place. Okay, so to be this close to someone, for her and I to be that close to each other, what did we have to do? We had to move, right? Like, we had to take action and work. Like, it took some work. Like, she had to physically get up and come up here so we could get close to each other. So whether it was one of us or both of us, we had to work to build the relationship. So before you can remove the speck from someone's eye, before you can hold them accountable, there has to be a close relationship. So I want you to tell me something. If we're this close to each other and we're looking at each other's specs, this is really funny. I'm sorry. Y'all should try this with somebody you love at home. How would it be harder or easier to judge me?
If I'm looking at your spec?
Yeah, if you're looking at my spec and you want to tell me something judgmental, like, ooh, you look really fat today. Like, would it be harder to say it, right? Like,
I would not say that.
She wouldn't say that anyways. Just giving an example. But it would be like, because I'm so close to this person, words of judgment are going to be hard to roll off my tongue. And I'm going to be so close to her that I know her better, and the words of encouragement are easier to flow off. Does that make sense? Okay. Thank you for your help. So, if accountability isn't judgment, then what is it? How can we define accountability? So let's think about it this way. If I'm asking someone to hold me accountable, what do I want that to look like? So actually make a list. Take some time and write it down. And your list may look a little bit different than mine, but some things that come to my mind are honesty, kindness, loving, gentle, present. But this list, I don't want you to take it and be like, ooh, who has all those qualities that can be my accountability person? It's not what this list is for. This list is for you to take it and flip it, and that's what you need to work to become. That list is things that we should work on inside of ourselves so that we can treat others the way that we want to be treated. Sometimes we don't really stop and think about how we want to be treated in different situations in our lives. So let's actually take the time to stop and think about it. And then let's work to be that person. And then our next question is, who is my inner circle? Who are the people that I want holding me accountable? The people in my tribe, the ones I'm doing life with. Accountability is not about us making sure that everyone out there is doing what they're supposed to do. Y'all, this was a hard lesson for me when I was growing up because my spiritual gift was like authoritative or whatever that one is, and I was very bossy. I thought everyone should listen to me. I had to work really hard on it. But that's not what it's about. It's not about everyone out there. It's about the people that you're in small group with. It's about the people that you personally are willing to be vulnerable with. And so I have some ways that accountability happens. And I just have a list for you. And I'm just going to read a verse that goes with each of those. So accountability happens through encouragement. Hebrews 10:24 through 25 says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Then accountability happens through gentleness. Galatians 6:1a says, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness." And then Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." So I looked up that word admonishing because I don't really like that word. That makes me like, what? I don't know. So I went to the Blue Letter Bible and I looked to see the word is in Greek. And I'm not going to say it for you because I'm really bad at pronouncing Greek words. But the other definitions were to warn, to caution, or to reprove gently. And so I like that because it's saying that the word of Christ dwells in us richly, teaching and reproving gently. So accountability happens through gentleness. Next is accountability happens through serving others. Galatians 6:2 says, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." So my husband has a purple Bible. Y'all don't tell him I told y'all that? No. But it's a Tony Evans Bible, and it is, has some really amazing footnotes in it. And the footnote for this verse was just really good, and so I just decided I was going to read it to y'all. So the footnote for Galatians 6:2 says, "Burdens don't necessarily imply sin. The burdens of life can include all sorts of weighty problems, physical, relational, financial, and emotional. Believers are to serve one another like spotters, serving those who are lifting weights. When the strain of a burden becomes more than an individual can bear, a spotter helps lift the weight off of his chest." So carrying the burden of another can take an unlimited number of forms, including prayer, making time for that person, providing practical assistance, giving financial assistance, or just providing a listening ear. So such burden-bearing, doing those things, will fulfill the law of Christ. Next, accountability happens through selfless, unconditional love. And I didn't write down a specific verse for this because there's a million. It's like the whole Bible. Selfless, unconditional love. But we should be so full of God's love that it just pours out of us naturally. And it's something that we don't even have to think much about. And so I want you to think of somebody that is like that. Like, you, I know you know people like that. Think of who those people are to you, that love just pours out of them and that just spills over onto you. It's just, you know, you just get that amazing feeling. Go to them and ask them, hey, what are some of your practices? What are some of your rhythms? Like, why does love just pour out of you so easily? Like, just go ask them what it is and then see if any of those could be implemented in your life. And then accountability happens through community. It happens through spending time together. It happens through communication and talking. It happens through being vulnerable. It happens through grace and forgiveness. It's all about being someone that others can count on. When I personally am in a moment of temptation, if I know someone else knows my struggle and that they're later going to ask me about it, it is so much easier to say no to that temptation. It doesn't matter how I know they're going to respond. Like, they could be the meanest person ever and be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you did that. Or they can be the kindest, gentlest person and be like, it's okay. You know, like, then help me move on. No matter how their response is, just the fact that they know and that they're going to check on me, that's it. That's all I need to help me avoid that temptation. So God created us to need each other. Two are better than one. And God sent Jesus, his only son, to show us how to love God with everything we have and how to love each other. You know, I'm never going to get it perfect, and I'm going to mess up, but I'm hoping and I'm trying to be more like Jesus each and every day. And because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, that we can have a close relationship. Because of that sacrifice, we can have a close relationship with our Heavenly Father. Jesus gave his life for us. He took what was broken and he mended it. He bridged that gap for us. We are now going to have a time of communion. So if you're helping with communion, will you come forward? So Jesus took bread with his disciples, and he gave thanks, and he broke the bread, and he gave it to them, and he said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, he gave thanks, he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Drink from this, all of you, this is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Will you pray with me? God, I just thank you for your son, Jesus, God. Thank you for sending him to take away the burden of our sins, God. And I just pray that we can take that love that you have given us, God, and we can just spread it around to the world around us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.